For those of you from California, you probably heard what I'm going to say before, and maybe it'd be a little bit different. But first of all, I just want to say, you know, I'm not an engineer. I don't have a PhD. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a farmer. I'm a farmer that uses less water today and produces more crop, just like in California. We have more than doubled the agricultural production on the same amount of water we've used in the last 40 to 50 years. My wife and I, Deborah, had three children. We're part of the problem. Could we expand the population? We found out today that one of my sons did the same thing as they had their third this morning. When we had our, yeah, thanks. I had to throw that in, proud grandfather. But when we thought about that third child, we didn't think, is there going to be enough water? Is there going to be enough infrastructure for him? We just decided we're going to grow a family, and I think that's what happened to my son, and my daughter-in-law is the same thing. And, you know, it's very interesting. We listen to a lot of this, and folks, we have the same amount of water molecules we're ever going to have on this earth. The question is, what are we going to do with it? Through these last three dry years and this very, very drought year in 2014, not the most severe drought, we've had worse, but in 2014, it's more severe when you think about the demands that we put on that water infrastructure. A lot of signs went up from 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray for rain. You probably all remember that. It was a joke, and I can't remember it totally, but I think it was a preacher fell in the river, and he was drowning, and he says, God, please save me, and there was a log came along, and he pushed it away. He thought it might pull him under, and then there was a big fish came along swimming up next to him, and he kicked it away and everything. Anyway, long story is, you know, he went ahead, and he drowned, and he gets up there, and he says, God, I thought you were going to save me, and God said, I sent about three or four things to you that you could have saved you, but you didn't realize it. 2010-11, all of our reservoirs were full. We had ample water. In 1988 to 93, we went through six dry years, and we still had some water to spare and weren't in the situation we were in 2014. It's called mismanagement. And there's a lot of things that have changed since the 80s. 76-77, I grew up on the Stanislaus River. 76-77, we had a very severe drought. I walked across the Stanislaus River and didn't get my feet wet. And this is the wintertime. It went subterranean. And I and a friend, we would go through and we would see emaciated striped bass and black bass, and we'd see carcasses of other fish up in couldn't get out to the ocean or couldn't get back into the delta, and they went ahead and they drowned. And that year, in 79, they completed the New Maloney's Dam. And there was a lot of folks from the environmental community that chained themselves to rocks because they didn't want the reservoir to fill because it was going to be the worst thing that could ever happen to have New Maloney's Reservoir. Spring of 2014, the Stanislaus River ran at near flood stage. Water coming out of New Maloney's Reservoir to push the salmonids out to the river while we're in a severe drought year. This fall, the Stanislaus River ran deep and high and fast again to try to bring in the fall run of the salmon. And I like to fish. It was after the New Maloney's went in that I was able actually to go out and catch salmon again in the Stanislaus River. And that Maloney's is now not completely dry, but is very, very low because of those pulse flows. So we had the flows for the fish, not knowing that in 3 or 4 years when those fish want to return, if Mother Nature and God is going to give us that water back again, if we're going to mismanagement or how we're going to manage it to let them come back in. I've always heard folks say that, you know, we live in California, you know, it's prone to long drought. We shouldn't be farming there. Maybe we shouldn't even be living here. When we got into a 25-year sustained drought, I'm just curious how many fish came up and down the river. And I'm not against the environment, but I think back to something that Indira Gandhi said once. And when everybody was beating her up, they were still using DDT. She was losing 750,000 people a year to encephalitis, and so she was using DDT. And she said, environmentalism is a luxury. Only the rich can afford it. When you're talking subsistence, it's pretty hard to think about saving the environment. We are a leader in the world, folks, and we have done miraculous things, but you can only do so much. You have to manage what you got. And I'm not a glass half full kind of a guy. But we have been nothing short of lacking in doing the management that we need. We have the water infrastructure. Yeah, we have a drought. But with the water infrastructure today, we should not have reservoirs that are as empty as they are because of mismanagement. And Maurice, I know when you said that you hoped you didn't paint too rosy of a picture about the groundwater bills, I can look at three people right now that will probably in 10 years no longer be farming because of the groundwater bills when they're implemented. Because if we don't get water, surface water to them, they're done. And that's a travesty. Because they're putting people to work, they're feeding people. They're the sixth largest agricultural economy in the world. It's interesting, last November, I was in Las Vegas speaking to the Farm Equipment Manufacturers Association, really worried about what the sale of equipment would be into California. And I went to Kansas, and I spoke to 800 Kansans that were in Manhattan. They've had a three-year program studying the water situation in Kansas. They had 2,500 stakeholder meetings over the 3 years, and they were coming up with this water management plan. 2,500 meetings over 3 years. I spoke to 850 people in Kansas. And I came back to the Western Governor's Drought Conference, and we sat in Governor Brown's office. Governor Sandoval from Nevada kicked it off. Governor Brown talked, and I looked around. We had folks from the western states, about 50, 60 people. I think they were clueless that we have a drought in California. Kansas was worried. Because you know what the people from Kansas told me? We know where we get our food in the wintertime. We know where we get a lot of that other food that we can't grow. We depend on Kansas. We depend on all of you from the rest of this country for a lot of our foodstuffs, for our inputs. We are the United States of America. But by God, California sends a lot of our products throughout the rest of the country and the world. And we do it on a very sustainable basis. But I think we have lost track of reality. And we've got to get that back. I can remember after groundwater bills were signed by Governor Brown, Rich Mateus and I were at a meeting with some lawyers in Sacramento. One of the authors of that, Roger Dickinson, was in there, and I was happy to be able to address it with him in the room because he had written an editorial after the governor signed that groundwater legislation. He says, "Governor Brown signs historic groundwater legislation. Our water future is secure." It did nothing to bring one more gallon of water to anybody. And so I'll ask you what I asked those attorneys in that room that day. How many of you would like it if I told you right now you have to continue to go to work, you have to continue to live, you have to continue to buy your food, raise your kids, everything else, but you're not going to get paid? No more money going into your 401, your savings account, your checking account. No more into your pocket, whatever you got in your wallet. How many of you want to conserve your way to the day you die and hope you live a long life? And all of them are like, uh-uh. It's exactly what we're doing in water in California, folks. It's what exactly we're doing in water in a lot of our areas. I grow almonds and walnuts. And everybody says you shouldn't be growing almonds and walnuts because it's hardening the demand on our water infrastructure. So is our cities. It's interesting, I'm in Modesto, and right through our property flows three great big pipelines that come out of the Sierra Nevadas and go to one of the most environmentally sensitive cities in the country and maybe the world, San Francisco. They flush their toilets, or they fill their toilet bowls with water cleaner than most of us in the valley drink. And they think we're misusing our water. And when they flush their water in San Francisco, it is cleaned a little bit, and then where does it go? It goes to the Pacific Ocean. Because real estate is too high to do a whole lot of recycling. And so I hear people saying California is a Mediterranean climate, it's a desert, we shouldn't be growing food here. Great, tell me where we're going to grow our food. There's five Mediterranean climates in the world. Mediterranean region, obviously. The western tip of South Africa, the south and western tip of Australia. And then you have central Chile and all of California. Only two of those five Mediterranean climates have a mountain range that captures snow on their east and a big old pool of water, the Pacific Ocean, on their west. Only two. And that's where a lot of food in the world is produced, in Chile and in California. And those are the areas that, when you think about water storage, 70% of our water storage has been in snowpack, in high mountain reservoirs. And so as climate change comes, we have to adapt. And that means we better have lower level capturing systems to be able to catch that water because it's going to come in the way of rainfall, not snowpack. And we've seen this in the last year. But we're not doing anything about it. We're just talking about it. Up here, just a little bit to the north of here, we have Carlsbad, the first desal plant that's going to be in California. A few years ago, I was at a meeting. It was called the Californians for the Environment and the Economy. It's another one that's based on you can only have a good environment if you have a strong and healthy economy. I think we have an exemplary environment in California because we've had a good economy. But I'm just curious, and again, I'm a glass half full kind of a guy, but if we don't get our heads straightened around the fact that we've got 38 million people here, soon to grow to 50 million people, we better do something about our infrastructure, and it starts with water. Because agriculture isn't the only user of water. Of course, the environment uses the water, but people use it for manufacturing. They use it for their own personal needs. It's interesting that when the governor was talking to State Water Board last year, we need to have about 85 gallons a day for people for their personal health and safety needs. How much water do you think it takes to do a 1,200-calorie diet for somebody? And 1,200-calorie diet, I like a lot of ice cream, so I do more than 1,200 calories, obviously. But 1,200 calories a day is about an average. So how much water do you think it takes to produce 1,200 calories of food? Anywhere between about 850 and 1,200 gallons of water to produce the food to give 1,200 calories. And it'll depend upon those types of calories, and that's why there's a variance. So we need a minuscule amount to brush our teeth, to shower, to do whatever we want to do, to flush the toilets, but we need a hell of a lot of water to feed ourselves. Now, we can take and look to other countries to do that. Earlier this year, I was back with a lot of folks from California that Morningstar, and we were with Campbell Soup, Land O'Lakes, and some others, hoping to get some federal legislation, some relaxation to the Endangered Species Act that would let us better manage our water infrastructure. And it was interesting because I didn't even know as a farmer, but that 95% of all the processed tomato products, so those of you in Chicago or New York, when you have that pizza pie, that pizza sauce, it came from tomatoes grown in California. 95% of all the products, processed tomato products, came from tomatoes grown in California. 33% of all those consumed in the world came from tomatoes grown in California. And so I asked some of those folks, I said, can you grow them in Mexico, China, or someplace else? They go, yeah, we can. But what we're harvesting is we're harvesting solids that we can make paste, and then we ship it to processing plants all over the United States and all over the world to make these really tasty products. But there's two problems. One, we can't get the same flavor profiles, and for people that are chefs and cooks, they want the same flavor profiles. And secondly, it would take twice as much land to farm to get that amount of solids, because we have gotten tomatoes that are now so specific to California, we get more solids per gallon of water. So that means when you talk about climate change, when you talk about tractors going through the field, when you're talking about water for tomatoes or anything else, it's going to take more if you do it someplace else than in California. And so I think what we do, not only in California, I'm speaking to California because I know California, but what you're doing on your farms and ranches is nothing short of phenomenal. The only thing that allows us to do what a lot of you can't do year-round, but you can do seasonally, is the fact that we are a Mediterranean climate. But we're dry. We have to store water. And if we don't have water, we are just a desert. But where are you going to grow your crops? In a rainforest? I don't think so. In the Arctic? I don't think so. The water has got to go to the land that can produce those crops. And if it doesn't, then I think in the future it's going to be very, very interesting to see how we look at our environmentalism. I was just after the drought conference, and I'll finish it up. I went down to the Pat Brown Institute for Public Policy, and what they were talking about is California Dream dying of thirst. And there was young people all over the audience. Some of them were in accelerated programs out of high school going to Cal State LA. And there was instructors, and there was other folks there, college students. And as I looked around the room, I said, you know what, I have to apologize. Because my generation, the baby boom generation, has done you a disservice. We watched as the greatest generation came back from World War II, and they built the infrastructure that I lived off of, and many of us lived off, minimum wage, a lot of them. They built the roads, the highways, the dams, the reservoirs, the canals. And over the last 40 to 50 years, we haven't done a darn thing for the future generations. And our solution is, you gotta conserve, son. That's an injustice to the next generations. We can solve this problem. Those fish that went out this spring because the Stanislaus River was flowing high, and those that came back, that wasn't riparian water, that was stored water. That was water that was stored in 2010 and 11. And so when people say you can't fool with Mother Nature, we fool with Mother Nature, because the natural flows this year out of Stanislaus River would have been nil. But the Stanislaus River ran near flood stage at certain times of the year because of stored water. And I even heard one fish biologist said, We need to look at more storage projects so we have more stored water for the fish. As I look around to some of our Farm Bureau members from California, and if I asked them how much water they use and how much production they got out of it, they could tell me almost to the gallon what they did with that water. I would like to have anybody, any fish biologist, tell me how many fish made it out of the Stanislaus River and how many are going to make it back, because they don't know. They just said if we put the river there, hopefully there'll be fish going out. And I applaud the efforts, and we can do it. Through mist incubation and other technologies, we can make sure these challenged species can survive. But if it hadn't have been for medical technology, if it hadn't have been for the food technology, if it hadn't been for the things that we take for granted today, there wouldn't be 38 million people in California. If we were still living under oak trees searching for grubs to get by, I'll guarantee you there wouldn't be as many of us as there is today. But there's a lot of people that say the environment has to survive the way it has for millennia. No, it doesn't. If we're about results, we can have great results. We just got to take the blinders off. And when folks that are getting paid for saying, no, you can't, we got to get people in the room that are getting paid to say, yes, we can. Thanks.